The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family. Jalan, 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 jalan.
Well, hello and welcome to My Mate Bought a Toaster. In the following podcast, you're going to hear me, Tom Price, talk to a comedy type about their purchase history on a well-known shopping website, Amazon. It's not just me grilling them, though. I'm joined by Sam Baines, who is going to help me really, really go in hard on some of these details, some of these items. Hello, Sam.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me and my laptop.
Good, thanks. You're mainly here because
Googling abilities.
You've just got great Googling skills. It's mainly because if I've ever DM'd you on Instagram, you message me back straight away.
I have a very good response rate.
And I think that's going to help with this.
I think it will.
And today's guests, our mystery shopper is John Holmes, not that one.
Hello there.
Thanks for joining us,
John Holmes.
Hello there, Thomas. How are you? I'm very well, thank you. Thanks very much for doing this.
It's quite an interesting psychological experiment, I think, doing this, because when you start going back through your... do they sponsor this?
No, not yet.
Okay.
We're in talks.
Yeah. They do keep quite detailed records, don't they? And I hadn't ever had cause to go back before.
No.
All the way to, it turns out, in 2004 was when I bought my first Amazon item.
So 2004, that's when you lost your Amazon Cherry.
That's right.
And can you tell us what that first item was,
please? Yes, I can. It's something that every home owns,
okay.
Of course. So it will come as no surprise to know that my first ever Amazon purchase was it was the 11th of May 2004.
I remember it well.
Yeah, I went for, as I say, every home has one, the Region 1 NTSC DVD reissue of the Video Nasty Cannibal Apocalypse on DVD.
This is a time in your life before kids, presumably?
I used to put them to bed to this. Yeah, but this is when they were conceived. During the infamous, fans of the film will know the scene when a man gets his entire guts and stomach shot out with a shotgun from behind.
Well,
so much so that the camera goes through the hole in his stomach and you can see straight through it to what's going on in the sewers behind him.
But that's perfect preparation for watching someone give birth.
Exactly.
Super sexy.
Yeah, exactly.
As the woman in the room, I will say that's not actually how you give birth.
But, that's not true. Have you ever seen a C-section?
From a man's perspective.
Unbelievable.
Probably. And for those who don't know,
yes, go on.
Cannibal Apocalypse.
Yeah. Don't say it like you don't know what it is.
A film I've never heard of.
I've never heard of it, John.
Really?
Violent, low-budget horror. Two Vietnam veterans return from the war carrying a deadly cannibal virus contracted when one of the men was bitten by a POW.
That's right.
Okay.
Norman Hopper tries to resist the lure of human flesh after his friend bites a waitress and starts spreading the disease. But before long, he has joined him in an orgy of cannibal violence.
He certainly has.
I just say throughout this, John is grilling at me like, I bought that film. With your hard
earned money. Well, I'll tell you where it came from. It was when I was young, at school.
So 2004, you were how old though, please?
Just 2004, I don't even remember. Hang on. So how many years ago was 2004?
That was.
Well, I was born in
15 fucking years ago.
Right, so I'd have been 34.
Right.
Something, would I?
Okay.
Something like that. Yep. And so I was way too old to buy this, clearly, because it's a child's.
Was it good for someone who, and I'm guessing you probably struggled to buy or get served for alcohol if you were even over the age of 18?
That's correct.
Amazon must have been a great relief for you to finally get hold of these things.
Well, the thing was, when I was at school, right, and video nasties were the big news and everyone was talking about banning films, it was all over the papers about how these films had influenced people and violence. And the government at the time issued a list of, I think, 73 films that were on video that you could get from the news agents that were classified as video nasties officially, and they were banned in this country. Right?
Oh.
So everything from I Spit on Your Grave, Driller Killer, all of those. So I just made it my mission
right.
to collect them all.
So just to be contrary rather than to enjoy their movie-making prowess.
More or less. I mean, I don't think I've ever watched SS Experiment Camp, but I do have a copy of it.
But have you watched this? So what's the name of this film again?
Cannibal Apocalypse.
And have you watched Cannibal Apocalypse?
Yes, I have. I remember watching it when it came out on, would have been VHS, and then it was banned.
Right.
And then when
it was banned just in the UK.
Yeah.
Right. Any reviews of it, Sam, that we can see?
Oh, some lovely one. 2 one-star reviews, one titled Crap. Mr. Russell says, don't believe the other reviews of this film. I'm a massive horror fan, but this was just plain crap.
Okay,
can't believe Quentin Tarantino rates this so highly.
He does. Oh, really? Does he?
He does, yeah.
Okay.
He's usually got very good taste. Well, almost zero gore. Which I'm shocked by after
And this is what they're after, isn't it, with these things?
Atrocious acting, interesting idea, but just badly done. Mm. Also, there are no full stops in this review. Okay, it's just two full stops at a time.
That's annoying.
The only good thing is the funky 80s soundtrack, especially in the beginning. Save your money for something like Dawn of the Dead or Zombie Flesh Eaters.
I've got those.
If you've got those as well. Bad.
Those are done. Yeah, yeah. All right, okay. Let's move on. That's 2004. Take us through some highlights that we then come across. I'm looking at 2006 here, John, on your purchase history, which is, thank you so much for letting us into your life.
Well, it was slightly worrying for me going back at it. So, to have sort of, handed over to a friend and just go, do you want to have a look through my history?
Mm.
It's possibly not a good, idea. Yeah, I mean, anything you catch
your
friend, eye?
I'm not sure I can be your friend anymore when I see that you bought Zooborns, the cutest baby animals from zoos around the world. This was born in 2006. Apparently it's a gift order.
Yeah, but I can't remember why.
What
did my sister, maybe? I don't know.
Zooborns, the cutest baby animals from zoos around the world. So if you like baby animals that are in the wild, not for you, this. I don't
want
to see
them. I want captive baby animals with their sad little faces.
There's a dark side to John Holmes, Sam Baines. I don't know if you're seeing this, but if you look on the 11th of September 2006, NB, order placed on the 11th of September 2006, it's Flight 93 revealed what really happened on the heroic 9/11 Let's Roll flight. 5 short years after the actual thing happened. Not too soon for John Holmes.
No.
Stuck in. Even your order date is funny. You've ordered it on the 11th of September.
Was it
during the 2-minute silence? You thought, just have a quick look online.
I know what I want. I want a book about planes being hijacked. I don't know. That date is interesting, certainly, and it must have sparked an interest. Hmm. But the reason I bought it was because the one plausible conspiracy theory that I have any truck with out of all of them in the world is the one that says that Flight 93, you remember this was the one that was going towards the White House, I think?
Yes.
And it was the one that crashed into a field in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it didn't hit the Pentagon. It was one of the one that crashed into the field and killed everyone on board, right?
Yeah.
Now, the story was, of course, that the passengers had overpowered the hijackers, mm-hmm. and in the ensuing fight, it had crashed into the ground. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but if I were to believe one, it would be that the military shot that plane down.
Uh-huh. To avoid it going into
the White House, which is where it was headed. Yeah. And of course, they had to make up a story about the passengers being brave and doing that.
Oh, so it's a good spin, a positive spin.
But if I had to believe a conspiracy theory, that one is at least a little bit plausible. Mm.
Well, what I find interesting about this is it's only been reviewed 6 times.
Right, so okay.
5 of them were me.
A very popular book.
And what are the reviews? Are they sort
one,
of...
one one-star review says, a conspiracy way too far. Of course, no one really knows what happened off Flight 93 or any of the other flights.
Well, the other thing was...
Isn't there a black box for it or not?
They adopted that. The other thing about that flight, which is interesting in the book, as I remember, was, of course, that there were loads of phone recordings of phone calls of the passengers phoning loved ones and saying goodbye and
This is really bleak for my podcast.
It is.
I'm not enjoying this, but go on.
But then there was the question, of course, well, how do you get a cell phone signal in the if you've ever been on a plane? Certainly when that happened, there wasn't Wi-Fi on planes. How are you getting a cell signal?
Why can't people just enjoy it? Even if it is a conspiracy theory, why can't we just go, well, that's a nice spin on an awful, awful event?
Yes, it is.
Well, the majority of the reviews just say it's obvious that no one's ever going to know what actually happened.
Yeah.
Surely that's the point of the conspiracy book.
Hang on, is this a book, right? Or is this before the film?
This is a book.
Because it then got turned into a film.
That's right. Yeah, 1993.
By Roland Morgan, published in 2006.
All right, okay. Hello to you, Roland, if you're listening. I've got a nice one here on the 14th of July, 2012.
Oh, okay. This is quite
nice. So we're going right into 2012 now, so years later. So the John Holmes who buys video nasties and likes to read books about apocalyptic events in human history, suddenly he's bought a grow clock sleep trainer.
That's right.
This is the nicer version of John Holmes. Now, see how your life has changed. See how your purchase history is telling you your story, John.
That's what I like about this, and it's interesting going back for that reason. Grow clock sleep trainer. Yeah, this was a the idea of this. Did you have one? You've got kids. Did you have one of these?
We've got one. 2 nights it lasted.
Yeah, same here. Right,
and it's oh shit.
It doesn't work at all. I mean, the logic of it is that you've got a clock face without numbers on it, and the idea is it counts down for a child that wakes up in the night. It counts down and change his colour to tell them when it's time to get out of bed. Yeah. They should sit and watch that clock rather than screech or come and poke you in the face to wake you up, right?
The idea they'd have the self-control to go, wait for it to go yellow, wait for it to go yellow. I mean, they do wait for it once. They'll wait for it to go yellow and a little smiley sun to appear. Yeah. And that's a gleeful, joyful moment. And that's it.
That's it. That's the end of that. Yeah. Yeah. And then it's just used as a nightlight and without any of the function. You could have just got a nightlight for none of the price. But it's,
or you could just use the actual sun.
Yeah,
you could just point your child towards
just
a window.
Open the curtains.
when the day turns yellow.
I've got a grow clock. It's called the Sky.
Just let them sleep in the garden. It'll be fine. I have to say that buyers on this platform, Amazon, disagree with you. 65% of the reviews are 5-star.
Okay,
it
now,
won the Mums Awards in 2018.
Got to interject here, Sam. And there is rumours. And in fact, I know someone who's done this. I know someone who has written fake reviews for...
There are over 4,000.
Well, Amazon have got a lot of money to pay for review pigs. But this is what I hear.
Deep dive into another conspiracy theory here.
Well, maybe. I don't know. But there is this rumour that that's what happens. You pay lots of money and then people write lots of nice reviews. Hopefully that'll happen with this podcast. Can we do that?
Crossed.
Can we get that?
Do we have any money? People say, don't listen to the haters. Very durable, very helpful, but not very user-friendly.
I mean, it's still there now. It's still in the youngest room, just there in the corner, where it's been for 7 or 8 years.
And is it still sun up and sun downing, or is it just given up?
It's given up long time. I think just the plug fell out of the back and no one's ever bothered to put it back in.
If you think this is so stupid, right, because it's got loads of buttons on it, and I'm putting it next to my kid's bed, saying, watch that, and when it goes yellow, you can get up. So my son's like, oh, some buttons there. I'm
going to press
the shit out of those.
Also, it was the most complicated thing to set. Did you find that?
I could not work
it out. I mean, that's part of the reason it stopped being used, because I couldn't figure it out. I mean, it's...
Hilariously, lots of the one-star reviews say, after you saying you couldn't figure it out, too easy for the kids to alter the settings.
There you go, see? The sun is coming up at 3 a.m.
so
apparently.
You couldn't figure it out, but the kids
I could not set it correctly.
My kids are on Dubai time for some reason. this is what happens. So, you know, you remember in the old days, like when if you had an old Casio watch and it had two buttons on it, and you'd press the button and hold it down, and then things would start flashing. And you press the other button to go through the different things you wanted to change.
I had a baby G, but fine.
Lovely. Okay, fine. You can still relate to this, right? And this is what happens on the grow clock timer thing. Except all the things that flash are these weird little icons that are tiny, and they're all over the clock. So you've got like a little moon in the top right of this thing, and then in the top left you've got a little sun, and then and there's like some waves. Why the sea's involved, I don't know. And you've got to try and go around those, navigate those, and one is to set an alarm, one is to set when it comes up, one is to set when it goes down.
Yeah, it's like a Philip Pullman compass.
Yeah, it is.
And I could, and each time I went to do it, even though it was on consecutive nights, I couldn't remember what each of those symbols meant.
Well, also, if you've bought one of these things, you are chronically sleep deprived. So this is preying on people who are having nervous breakdowns anyway. Their frontal lobes have been destroyed and dissolved by their children.
Yeah.
You know what the best thing to do, if you want your kids to stay in bed, just play them that horror movie. That's what you've got to do. It's too scared. They'll never get up. Perfect. All right, so that's from 2012. And then let's have a look. Now we're 2014. So by this stage, John, you've got young kids. How many kids have you got?
Two kids.
All right. And what age are they
They are, what, now or then?
By this point, 2012.
2012. One of them was born in 2010, and the other one was born in 2012. So
okay, fine. Yeah. All right, so it's all very new. You're still.
Yeah. That's why on the 28th of November 2014, I bought a rustic keyhole-covered escutcheon in black cast iron.
Is that the AB222?
It's the AB222. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, it's absolutely lovely. That one's now retailing at $299, I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
So, I mean, there's no simple way to ask this question. What the fuck is this?
Right, I live in where I live, right, is quite a windy area. Right, so I live in a sort of on the outskirts of a village, right, and between where the house is and the Arctic wind that blows down from the North Pole.
Do you get more wind in villages? Is this what you're saying?
Well, it's sort of, yes. Because what happens is it's got its own weather system, as far as I can make out.
This is such a yokel bullshit thing. This is what my cousin, right, lives down in Devon, says, yeah, we got a microclimate.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm with him.
But I've never heard anyone say, I've got a microclimate, so I had to buy rustic keyhole.
No, because the door, the back door, the side door, if you like, faces right? The field from which the Arctic wind comes across, because there's nothing between it and, if you look at a map where the southeast of England is, because I live in Kent, right? Yeah. Right? If you look straight up from where my house is, it's green, it's Greenland. It's up there. There's nothing in the way. So all of that blows straight through the keyhole of my back door. That's not a euphemism.
You thought Lloyd Grossman was bad.
So I, to stop the hurricane force wind coming through the keyhole and reaching all the way through the house to the lounge where I'm sitting, I bought a rustic keyhole covered escutcheon in black cast iron.
Was there a moment when you were sitting there with Mrs. Holmes and you're like, oh, fuck this, I'm going on Amazon. I'm being broken by this wind. But also, if it was coming through the keyhole, it must be like...
No, it funnels it into a gale, doesn't it?
Are you telling me, right, you're complaining about all this wind that's coming from Greenland and a £2.99 bit of iron has stopped it?
It has.
That's incredible.
Because, of course, it's a keyhole cover. That's what it does. It covers the keyhole, Tom. And I also spend a lot of time going around B&Q going, where's the best draft excluder? It's quite an old house. It's a bit drafty.
So, but are you one of those people then who likes to make a room nicely sealed? And
not really, no. I was just livid at this, trying to work out where the draft was coming. In fact, where I was sitting, there was a draft which made me do this, but it didn't solve the problem entirely. So I'm thinking, well, so it's got to be coming from through another keyhole. So then you have to.
Or perhaps a larger space. In the several years since you bought this, it has gone up by £1.
Has it? I got it.
So it is now £3.99. Obviously, people have realised the value of this keyhole cover.
Well, after the review John's just given it, it's going to go back down, isn't it? Because you said it was useless.
Well, I think I found a very positive review there. Mm-hmm. Wholly remarkable. They call this
holy. Yeah, very remarkable, like that.
Stops the howling winds from blowing into the lounge.
See? I wrote this.
This is from Jay Holmes in Kent.
Looks the part in our 17th century thatch.
All right,
rag.
Show off. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
Is big enough to fit the key into, small enough not to let the neighbours see you spying on them. Just the job.
Wow.
So do you still enjoy this escutcheon? Because can I just say, I did not know what an escutcheon was.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I know the...
Did you sit in the living room and go, that's it, we need an escutcheon? Or did you find out what it was
when I looked up keyhole cover, and okay, there it was. Yeah. But the bit that... because obviously you have to get the key in, so the bit that covers it is on a little hinge
to knock it aside
to put the key in. Yeah. That snapped off very shortly.
I mean, that's probably £1.50 worth of the escutcheon.
That means it's its main job. Also, otherwise, it's just an elaborate keyhole.
That's 100% of
that's what it is, and it snapped.
Hi, I'm Julia Rayside, and I'd like to invite you aboard my podcast. Always There is the only podcast to navigate through every single episode in order of the 1980s seafaring soap opera, Howard's Way. You don't have to love Howard's Way or even remember it. We're going to talk about it anyway, because I think it's brilliant.
Somebody's nicked my bloody boat!
Find us on Twitter at Always There Pod.
September 22nd, 2011, you bought a book by, amongst others, Simon Bates.
Yeah.
Off of our tune.
Yeah, the radio presenter Simon Bates. That's right.
Paul Hollins, Paul Chantler as well, have written a book called Hang the DJ.
Yeah.
The Radio Presenter's Guide to the Law.
I've been fired a lot by this point.
How many times since you read that book have you been fired?
More.
What was your first sacking?
The first sacking was from... a tiny little radio station in Canterbury, which just wanted this tiny little, not community station, but it only did Canterbury, Whitstable and Herne Bay. So it was like a small little, that was my first show. And it was a Saturday afternoon thing. And I remember the boss who hired me was great. But then as ever, he left and the new guy really did not get what I was doing.
One of those. Okay.
One of those. And I remember saying there was a jingle they made, or a trail for the evening show, which was, listen to this with whoever it was, it's Kent's best party, or some such shit, right? So every time I had to play that, because you know it is, they cut, you have to play it, it's in the thing. I that would then describe in some detail what I thought Kent's best party actually might be, which involved a crack house in Sturry Road in Canterbury. And the boss did not...
A crack house in Sturry Road was appropriate for a Saturday afternoon.
He really didn't. But it was really just an excuse to get rid of me.
But of course, if you'd read that book, you'd have known what to do.
I would have done. And then I went to, that was the first sacking. Then I went down to Power FM on the South Coast, which is now a Heart station, probably.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And that all went wrong when there was a, we used to do a game, right, where the listeners had to phone in And they then had to put something, it was a time trial, through the letterbox of a neighbour while on the phone.
Oh, this is
to
amazing.
The studio,
this
right?
is all so pre-Saxgate as well.
Oh, God,
it? There's no way you could do any of this.
No. And it went, so they put something through the door, right? And it was weird stuff, like some soil sellotape to a hammer, whatever we decided it would be. And the time trial started when they knocked on the door to ask for it back. How long would it be before they got it back? So knock, start the clock, right? Door opens. Yeah. Excuse me, I've accidentally dropped my hammer with some soil on it through your letterbox. Can I have it back, please?
And then, did you do this?
Oh, yeah. But it all went wrong when someone put a squirrel through a letterbox.
Oh my! A live squirrel.
And it destroyed a hallway.
Did the squirrel answer the door when they were knocking on the door?
I live here now. The damage a squirrel can do to a hallway is quite spectacular. It turns out.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So that was.
And so you lost your job.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
Can you tell us, John, what on earth was going on the 27th of August?
Yeah.
When your neighbour picked this up as well, parcel was handed directly to a neighbour.
Yeah.
And this is the Flip Belt Classic Premium Running Belt. You've gone for the charcoal model there. What on earth is a running belt?
Don't you know what a running belt is? You do running. Do you not know what a running belt is?
A running bell. I do know what that is.
A running belt. No. Do you know how I got into this? Right. So this is on Twitter, the broadcaster Jamie East.
Oh yeah.
Right. Put out a question saying, runners, what I need something to put my iPod generic music player and stuff in keys right while I run.
What sort of strappy
armbandy thing can I get? Yeah. And everyone came out going, no, you need this.
Seriously,
this running belt, and I looked it up, and indeed it's got all the bits, pouch holes in it where you put your keys and your music player and all the rest of it, and it filters the wires through in the right place. It's good.
Are you ever tempted to do a Rambo and put it on a diagonal across your chest?
You know, that's a very good idea. But it does look like that, doesn't it?
It looks like a bullet. Yeah. It looks like that, but it's like a utility belt. But here's the kicker,
exactly right?
Here's the key thing, Sam. I don't know what you think about this. How much do you think this would cost? I mean, this is a bit of material that goes around your waist. It's a belt, right? Yeah. He's paid £23 for this.
Yeah, now you've said that out loud, it does look a bit ridiculous.
I mean, it goes up to £64.57.
What? Adams, what do you get? I would expect the iPad and everything with that.
Different size. Is.
Okay. So John's got the child's version.
If you need a running belt, right, but, and you're so fat that you have to buy the biggest belt, I mean, what's going on there?
£64.
60, how fat do you have to be to get more material than 23 quid's
that
worth?
That is extraordinary. So what do you get with the 64? That is just for the biggest version then, is it?
That seems very steep.
I think so, yeah, extra large.
That's hilarious.
Wow, well.
What are the reviews like? What are people saying?
People, let me just tell you, because you weren't quite sure what it was. The Flip Belt is a really simple but revolutionary product to go hands-free. It's made of machine washable, so that's useful, high-tech spandex lycra blend material with an internal pocket system.
Internal pocket system! It's got pockets, guys.
Yeah. Accessible from four openings round the belt's exterior.
Wow.
So now you can see maybe why it deserved the high price tag.
I mean, it's a bit of plastic, isn't it? And also, I don't know, how long do you run for?
Well, I mean, 5K, what does that take?
It's about 25 minutes,
yeah, exactly,
half an hour.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Why don't you just hold your generic device in your hand?
Well, I don't want to do that.
Do you get
sweaty hand, don't you?
No, I'd rather tuck it away. In the winter, it's fine, because if you're running with a thing with, like, fleece with a pocket in, you're okay, you don't need the belt.
Yeah.
But in the summer,
Do you run with a fleece on? In the winter, I just still run in with the same stuff.
I just undo it further as I go.
Nothing worse than a sweaty run. Do you run, Sam? You're a runner.
No.
Ugh, it's awful.
Absolutely not.
And you get sweaty.
I tried for a while. I did it for a video once.
Okay.
So other people think I run.
Really?
Now, obviously, people have had the same problem and wanted to go for a smaller size to save on cash. Charlotte says, too small, too expensive. I could hardly get the extra small over my knees, and I'm a petite 5'1".
John, your type.
It looked like a headband.
Oh, well, that would make more sense, stick it around your head and have your water bottles hanging off your head. So you don't really go more than 5K then? I'm not sure. Okay. I mean, I do 10K over a month.
Exactly.
Clearly. All right, nice. But this is good. Again, it's telling the story of John Holmes. Here you are. He's the guy trying to get fit now. Is this part of some sort of midlife crisis, John?
It probably is, yeah. I've realised. I tell you what, it all came about some time ago when I was on XFM, and there was an S&P, a promotional thing we had to do, where I had to go and do a Tough Mudder, you know, those big assault course races things. And I realised that I probably wasn't equipped to do what is essentially a half marathon of 13 miles with all of the Tough Mudder obstacles in
it's
it.
It's an assault course.
It's a major
marathon.
Assault course.
Did you do it?
Oh, God, yeah. I loved it.
Did you?
But I had to get fit to do it because I wasn't going to pile in, you know. So I went off to do some fitness stuff and then started running then.
It's very Moorish, isn't it, once you get into it?
And once you get into it, it's fine. And if you're just feeling a bit, well, ill or hungover or just you want to clear your head, or go for a run.
Yeah, it burns off all the madness, doesn't it? I can remember when I first started running when I was about 23, just, you know, for mental health stuff and to be a bit thinner. And I'd go and I'd do 12 minutes and I'd come back and I'd have a cigarette. Best days of my life as well.
One of the most interesting questions I think we've seen so far that someone's asked about the product is, will a UK passport fit in? So I don't know who runs or how far you run in.
That's extraordinary.
With your passport.
Can I fit a torch on there to run through the Channel Tunnel on my way out?
It would double as one of those, if you like those, thinking of travelling, you know, those sort of ridiculous airport, carry all your stuff in a utility belt. Travel pack. It would like double as that.
What do Americans call them? The fanny pack.
Fanny pack.
There you go. Yeah. This could be some
Like a bum bag.
Yeah. So it could be like a bum belt.
No, but you get one that goes under your clothes for the airport.
Yeah, that does go under your clothes. No, because then you look like a suicide bomber.
Yeah, that does go under your clothes.
Or you look like you're touching yourself up when you're trying to pay for something.
Yeah. Mind you, I do find it very arousing. I'm one of those financial masochists. Do you know about those people? There are people who get sexual pleasure out of losing money. So they send their credit card details off to people online and these women spend loads of their money and like message them and tell them what they're buying and men are just...
Are you making this up?
No, it's absolutely true. You both looked at when I said financial masochist, like what on earth is he on about? That exists. But in a way, John, you've been indulging in financial masochism on your Amazon account for the last 15 years.
That's been proof. And which explains why I'm sexually aroused going back through it.
So one of the things that will definitely sexually arouse you as a performance narcissist is on the 27th of August, 2015. So we're going to 2015 here, going back a bit, because I really want to stop on this because I've noticed this scrolling through. And you've managed to buy a book here, John Holmes, by a man called John Holmes. The book's called A Portrait of an Idiot as a Young Man, part memoir, part explanation as to why men are so rubbish.
Yes.
John, tell us what attracted you to the book you wrote.
Well, this was part of an experiment, you see, because I... So I wrote a book. It has the title that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I wondered idly. I mean, I didn't... Let's be clear. I didn't need to buy my own book because I have a garage full of them.
Nobody needs to buy your book.
Let's be honest.
We all know where you live. We all know we can get into the keyhole now. It's very accessible. We can break it and steal them. So
just
why did you...
whistle through it.
Exactly.
I wanted to genuinely see if buying one copy of a book, like mine, altered its position in the Amazon chart.
Did it?
Yes.
Is that because it was 2014?
Possibly. but it did briefly. If you buy one, because the Amazon, you know, charts move all over the place. But if it turns out, if you buy one copy of a book, like your own one, you can shift it up into, if it's, you know, hovering outside the top 10 or whatever, you can shift it up to like number 3 with one purchase.
Really?
But only for like a minute, because obviously then something overtakes it. So
did you buy it, do a screen grab, and then send it back?
So now it's an Amazon top 5 best-selling
amazing
book.
Wow.
Thanks to me buying one copy.
Cheating the system.
Top tip.
You paid £11.69 for it. I mean, we have been looking at reviews of the product, so it's only fair, John, that we look at some reviews of your book.
Also, it is actually cheaper now. It's £8.99 in paperback, and there's a Kindle edition.
Of course, of course
there are 28 customer reviews.
Go on.
Did you pay any of them? Or are these...
I did not. Oh,
no? Okay. Should we go for a 1-star?
Please. Oh, come on. Let's just get it done.
We'll end with...
Yeah, shit sandwich him. Come on.
Blowfly says, absolute rubbish. What childish nonsense. If my 4-year-old wrote such drivel, I'd ask her to have another go.
Bloody hell. That's my life on the page, that is. That's like being... That's not criticising a book, because it's a memoir. Right. So it's all about growing up and being a teenager. And I laid my heart bare for this book, to the point where ex-girlfriends don't talk to me anymore.
Wow.
Because of some of the incidents in that book that I detail in quite...
Are you kidding?
No.
Well, give us a quick example.
Well, I was very open about sex growing up, right? Mm-hmm, in real detail.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I changed some names, obviously. Yeah, okay. But
did you just change them by like one letter?
Exactly that.
Did you really? Yeah. Did Sam become Sim or something?
I mean, I won't specify how it changed here, but
also,
basically.
Also, I'm not an ex-girlfriend, just to be clear. I'm not in the book.
She's my current one. So it's very explicit. Like, my mum read it and then sort of went, right. Let's not talk about it. And you know, my wife had read it and stuff. What I did was overshare, because I forgot I was writing a book for other people to read. And in my head, it was just like a cathartic sort of diary thing.
Yeah.
And then I realised it had to be published.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my editor was like, well, you've been very honest, haven't you?
And did you not think, oh, I might step off a bit,
was like,
maybe?
I thought, no, fuck it, put it out there, it'd be fine.
It's life, it's my life. Yeah, exactly. It's a one-star life.
I now feel like I'm getting criticised for just living a shit life.
One-star life.
Well, P&L says total trash. I agree with the author, only in one respect. It's a portrait of an idiot.
And like I said, I was honest about it.
Surely yeah. You're pleased with
it. It's a beautiful irony that after writing a memoir which rubbishes men, this little cuck gets fired by the BBC for being a white male.
Oh, yes, of course.
See the sort of people that...
Whereas Ian says, 5 stars, great fun.
Yeah,
John's book is great fun. We are the exact same age and I can embarrassingly relate to much of what he talks about. Very entertaining. Oh. That's all it's meant to be. That's I do recommend it. Ian there
spelt J-O-N. One of the things I really love, if you ever dig down on Amazon and the books, is the different categories of genres they've got. Have you ever done that when you find it like, it says this is number one in Norse 17th century sci-fi fantasy?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's incredible. It's very niche.
Yeah, trying to find someone, like for example, there's one on here, there's Ladlit. Get Ladlit.
Ladlit.
I mean, maybe you should have popped it in.
I should have done.
In Ladlit. I'm not sure I can't. I'm trying to find the link where you can look at all the random genres, but I can't find it now and I'll just end up staring. I genuinely looked at Amazon to try and find the different genres and got distracted by a deal. While you were talking just now, I went, oh,
see, even me telling you about my life has bored you so much that you're just looking, you just gone shopping on Amazon. Thanks so
one
much.
Star, one so star. Much. Oh, brilliant.
No, it got to the point where it was... I have to forget about some of the stories that are in there. They're just out there now, and you just go, oh, well, fuck it. You know, people now know about what my mum. Obviously, I wrote quite a detailed thing. My mum and I have never spoken about the time she caught me having a wank. All right,
amazing.
And it's never been mentioned ever since. Why would it be? No, right? Because I was like 14 or something, I suppose.
Oh, God.
I know. But anyway, so I detail all this in the book because I had to get 80,000 words out of something.
A 10,000 words of this book, you masturbate. Well, if so, I will read it.
I mean, yes, basically, yes. But my mum then read the book, but of course that was the first time, but she still didn't mention it, even though, but there were five, I'm not going to tell you them now, because I'm going to make you read the book.
Good.
But there are five words, six words that my mum said to me in this scenario that haunt me still.
Please tell me. Please
just
tell
all the time or every time you're wanking?
Well, yeah. No, she said, well, all right, the details are all right. Oh. So back in the day, Channel 4 used to do this thing called the Red Triangle series. Did you remember that?
No.
Right, so they used to show art films that were foreign late night on Channel 4.
Okay? Oh, right, yeah,
and they put a red triangle in the corner.
Yeah.
And it worked as a brilliant marketing tool for teenagers because you knew there was going to be some nudity in it.
It's an analogue red tube, basically.
Basically, yeah. Okay. And one evening, mm-hmm. the family had gone to bed.
Of course they have.
And I may have stayed up late.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a television in my bedroom.
You stayed right up, didn't you?
So I may have entertained myself.
Done in some... the family living room.
Oh, that's what... I mean... It doesn't surprise me at all.
You know.
Does not surprise. Do everyone does personal admin wherever they can find a moment to do it?
And I
the
didn't.
The family were there. Framed pictures of your family looking back.
Well, I didn't hear the creak of the stair.
No. Oh dear, you were busy.
So I was busy, Sam. I was busy, and then I at the last minute I heard the door handle to the lounge going. So I hit the remote control because there was nudity on Channel 4, right? And it went over to pages from Teletext.
Sexy.
So my mum walked in to find me masturbating
to teletext.
And she looked at me and I looked at her and we both looked at teletext. Right? And then these are the words.
I can't look you in the eye, sorry. John.
These are the words. She just went, don't get any on the sofa.
Oh.
Amazing.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, my. Did you? Okay, here's the most important question of all. Did you seal the deal? Did you continue?
I think I stopped.
Oh,
I thought the most important question of all was what fabric was the sofa?
Because if it's velvet,
yeah,
fair enough.
It's hard to get out.
She's right.
If it's leather, she's just being rude. That's white clean.
So this has been My Mate Bought a Toaster. And John Holmes, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we lose you, I'd like to know, what is the one thing, when you've done this, when you've gone through your purchase history, this diary of things you've bought, what's the one thing that stood out and is your favourite that you'll take with you and think, yeah, I need to get that back into my life, or at least maybe that this changed my life?
The fly spray, but for spiders.
Wow, a spider killer.
It's a spider spray. I didn't know there was such a thing. It changed my life because I again, arachnophobia, I don't like spiders at all. But when I had kids, I had to deal with spiders more because where ordinarily I'd run away, but now I have to show the father thing of going, no, don't worry about spiders. Look, let me deal with the spider. But you, while I deal with the spider, why don't you go and stand in a different room while I smash it to pieces?
Are you one of those people who's so scared you couldn't go anywhere near it? You'd be scared.
Yeah. When I was growing up, certainly, and then I realised that people go, oh, hoover them up. No, because then they're alive in the Hoover and they'll breed in there, and then you'll have a Hoover full of spiders.
Did you watch Arachnophobia as a kid?
Yeah, I did. It was horrible. Yeah. It terrified me. Someone told me there was this spider spray, like fly spray, but from a distance for spiders, and it just renders them dead.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I don't care.
You bought a 3-pack.
I know.
So.
Wow, he really hates spiders.
You're pretty excited
about
this.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
And the spray works in corners or directly on the spider.
I mean, that is the nature of liquid, isn't
and
it?
And it will
hit corners.
It will also,
ask my mum about that.
There's a list of places. Don't get it on the sofa.
Oh, please.
There's a list of places that it'll work in, which include the house, car, caravan, garage, garden, shed, greenhouse, and there are many more locations.
It must be said, actually, it's a good place to have an insect repellent in the car. Have you ever had a spider or a fly attack in the car?
I've had both a spider and a large hornet in a foreign country.
Oh, really?
Where it flew in the window, and that is not what you need.
No.
A big, massive hornet flying around the
kids
place.
Kids screaming, all that business?
No, this was years ago. This was years ago, before the kids came along. Because I was screaming, and that would have been embarrassing.
Yeah, did you calmly pull over and deal with it, or did you just flap and nearly crash?
At the time, I had one of those steering locks that I probably bought on Amazon, which was... It was like just a bar that went through the steering wheel when you.
Yeah, they still exist, and often they're more expensive than the cars they protect.
As was mine. Yeah,
right. Okay.
So I remember, but it was on the floor of the passenger thing, and I remember driving on, scooping it up with one hand, trying to steer in. I think it was southern French traffic with the other, trying to smash the hornet against the glass with my steering lock.
You used a plank of metal as a fly swat.
Yes, because it's all I had to hand.
We found out so much about you.
I know. I feel a bit. Like,
do you feel like you've overshared? Because that's what I want.
Yeah, God, yeah.
Right, all right. John Holmes, thank you very much for
not as much
us.
As doing the book, which is available still.
I didn't know you were going to use this as another chance to pimp out that.
And it does have some lovely 5-star reviews
it does,
as
just
well
to be
as
clear.
One star.
It has lots of 5-star reviews indeed. It's very good indeed. John was very busy that year writing all this. John Holmes, thank you very much for joining us. Sam, see you next time.
Yep.
That is the end. If you enjoyed this, rate and review and all that awfulness, and please subscribe. Thanks. Bye. I love you. Bye. Say no more.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, I'm John Holmes, and yes, the last thing you need is another podcast that takes apart a television show and hacks through it like a cough going through a pensioner. Except wait, because this is the One Show in which myself and my guests force ourselves to watch a week's worth of TV's The One Show and then analyse it all in far too much detail. It sounds like a terrible idea, and it is for us. But for you, it's entertainment gold that's all over a programme you yourself have no intention of ever watching. The One Show, every Tuesday and Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.